Welcome to Fellowship Talks, your weekly connection to the life and ministry of Fellowship Bible Church. It is our desire that this podcast will reinforce your worship on Sundays and encourage you as you live your life for Christ this week. Here are your hosts, Dan Schaefer and Amy Scrivanos.
Welcome to Fellowship Talks. My name is Dan Schaefer. I'm your host of Fellowship Talks, and this is the podcast made specifically for Fellowship Bible Church in Central Arkansas. We are one church in multiple locations. We actually have five locations. And Amy, can you name all five of those locations?
Oh gosh, you're going to put me on the spot.
I'm going to.
Okay,
it's only
this.
Five. You can do it.
I can do it. Okay. Cabot, Benton, Midtown, West Little Rock, and Espanol.
Nice work. Nice work. And I am here to do this podcast today with my co-host, Amy Scrivanos. She nailed all five of those campuses here at Fellowship. And one of the things that we're really thankful here is being one church. Even with all of our campuses, we are one church. And we want that reflected here, even in our podcast.
That's right. Yeah, it's always fun to get to hear stories from our different campuses, hear what God's doing there, because you and I aren't there each week on each campus. And mm-hmm. so... just to get to meet people from the other campuses and hear different things. That's always so fun.
And speaking of all of our campuses, we actually have a story coming this week for Fellowship Talks out of our Cabot campus. So today we have Rick and Deborah Friday. It's not Friday, but your last name is Friday. Rick and Deborah Friday are here visiting the podcast with us. It is so good to have you guys with us today.
We're glad to be here.
Yeah, thanks for coming.
Glad to be here.
So we were talking before the show started a little bit that you guys have never done any recording. You're a little bit nervous about this, but you've had some TV interviews, Rick?
Well, yeah, in I was part of a trio. We were there were two ladies and myself, and we started singing together, and I guess people thought we were pretty good, and so we started doing concerts around, and we did a couple of albums, and one of the albums was named the 2004 Tennessee Country Music Gospel Group of the Year.
Wow.
Oh.
So we've sung, and we went for about 3 years, did 36 dates a year, and did quite a few things. But yeah, we sang in front of an audience one time of a little over 5,000 people.
Okay.
And I've got to speak to about 1,000 folks. As a group, we did a couple of TV interviews and some radio interviews, had some newspaper things with us. So I have a little experience in that. This doesn't make this any easier whatsoever. But Deborah's always been along for the ride with this. But as you'll hear as we go through here, I'm on her ride now.
Well, one thing, Deborah, want to include you on this conversation. One thing we've been able to celebrate as a church is that back on Mother's Day, Fellowship opened up a brand new campus in Cabot. We opened up a new worship center, I guess.
Yes.
What has that been like? What was that experience for you guys worshiping in there for the first time?
Well, I'm sure it was amazing. I did not get to attend.
Oh, no.
we were kind of separated over Mother's Day. Richard went to Texarkana to be with his mother. And my brother came in, and my mother is in a nursing facility in Cabot.
Okay.
So we kind of spent time with her, and with it being opening day and people, so many people coming and going and everything, mm-hmm. we really didn't. She's in a wheelchair, so we didn't want to kind of mm-hmm. navigate that with her. So I have not been in the new facility yet, but I know it is amazing. I've kind of watched in awe as it's been constructed. So I'm looking forward to this Sunday to get to go in and
well, we won't hold that against you. and by the time when this podcast comes out in mid-June, there'll be several more Sundays, and you will have been in there by
and
then.
It should be finished by then, hopefully.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. So why don't you guys tell us a little bit about yourselves? How long have you been around Fellowship? Tell us a little bit about your family.
Deborah and I have been married 46 years in August. We married so long we don't remember being single. So we were babies when we started this process. But we've been in Cabot for 35 years or so. I'm an ordained minister. I've been one of the different titles for a music director. Music director, worship leader, minister of music, our music pastor, whatever they are. So I've seen those. But we've been in a number of churches around Central Arkansas, but just in the past 10 years, I haven't been on staff anywhere,
mm-hmm.
and that was by choice. And so But we've been at Fellowship now. We're going on our fifth year,
I believe. Mm-hmm.
So
fifth year.
It's been and it's an amazing ministry there. We've mm-hmm. been part of it since we got there. You know, leading D groups and mm-hmm. doing things along those lines.
Yeah. We've really enjoyed it. It's a fast growing church. Mm-hmm. We've really expanded since we've started growing there. It's really expanded, and we've enjoyed the ministry, and we've enjoyed the fellowship with all the various peoples there. And we were kind of with our D group, we were the old people's D group, but we've enjoyed that too.
We don't call any D groups the old people's D group.
We're empty nesters. How's that?
There we go. Nesters, that, yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Be kind to yourselves. It's okay. Tell us about your family a little bit.
Well, we have two boys that are basically grown. They're in 38 and 40, so they're grown, have children of their own. Our youngest son and his girls live in Georgia, and our oldest son is over in, they live in Sherwood, but he teaches over in Bryant. He's the head soccer coach mm-hmm. and a science teacher over in Bryant, and they have our one and only grandson, who is three. So,
oh, and a plug for him. They are playing in the finals of the state soccer tournament this weekend in Fayetteville.
Oh, yeah.
So on Friday, we will be up northwest hoping to bring home a trophy. So
yeah.
Yes, that's awesome.
So, good. Looking forward to that. I know your family's really looking forward to that.
Yeah, without a doubt.
So you guys have been involved in a ministry out of Fellowship Cabot to one of your local elementary schools. And when I was talking with Jason Beams, the campus pastor there in Cabot, about what stories are coming out of Cabot, what we can share with the rest of Fellowship, and he said, oh, you got to have the Fridays on the podcast. They have to share with you what God's doing at the elementary school just down the road. So we'd love to pick your brains about and learn a little bit more about what God's doing in that ministry there.
Well, we had attended Cornerstone in Sherwood for a while, and mm-hmm. one of the things that they did was there was a elementary school, what, about two blocks from there, and they had adopted the school. And when I say adopted, I mean they took the school over. Mm-hmm. They ran their fall festival, all their Christmas stuff, everything they did, they went to the school and said, hey, okay. we can do this. So we were doing our ministry stuff here. I'm a worship leader with a group called E-Teens. It's out of community Bible study. And so we were working a ministry this way. But I think this rest of the story goes to you.
Well, I was active in a program that we have in Cabot called Lunchbox Connections. It's not run through any basic church. But what the program does is they feed the kids during the off when they're not in school.
Okay.
And so I was helping with that program. And in the summer, they were feeding the kids during the summer program when they were not in school. And the lady that was running the lunch room at that time mm-hmm. was happened to be the lunch person over at Westside Elementary. Now, mm-hmm. we're familiar with Westside because that's where our sons went to elementary school.
Okay.
A long time ago.
A long time ago. All right.
30 years ago. That's where they went to school. Anyway, we got to talking, and I've always had a heart for the children in the community that are less fortunate and to help get them through the tough times when they're not being taken care of. Mm-hmm. And we have very poor communities in some of our spots in Cabot.
Well, for example, like Westside has 17 different nationalities in the school.
Oh, so wow.
When you talk about a diverse school and diverse community, I mean, they've got 17 different nationalities in there. I don't know how many different languages, but I do know that they've got that.
Is that driven by the Air Force?
Part of it is. Part of it's driven by, the immigration stuff. They move there to settle. It's a good community. Cabot's a great community. We've been there for a long time, and I can't say anything but good things about it. But
we have 9 elementary schools in Cabot, and Westside is one of the top poorest communities, poorest schools.
Well, in fact, I think they said that they were the, as far as median income is concerned, that they were the poor school in the district. So,
and they, you know, they have more of the free and provided lunches and things like that at that school.
What'd she say? 65% of the kids were on free or assisted lunches.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Yep. Yes. Mm-hmm. And so, anyway, I was talking to the lady in the cafeteria and over the summer. And so I had gone home and I wrestled with, oh, goodness, what can we do to during the year, during the school year? Mm-hmm. What can we, could we as a church do? And, you know, I don't really... Just small me, I think small things. Mm-hmm. Just what could I do? You know, thinking, what could I do to help with the program during the school year? So I talked to the lady, and she said, well, you know, we have a lot of children that don't even end up paying. We have a lot of leftover monies that need to be paid for school lunches and things like that, even at the end of the year, that we need to find people to help pay for those things. And I thought, okay, well, we could do that. That would be an easy something for the church to maybe do. Mm-hmm. And so we got to thinking. I talked to Richard, and I said, well, maybe we could just go and talk to the church and see if they would be willing maybe to adopt the school, and just whatever the school needed, we could help do little things along the way to help them. And so Richard and I scheduled a time to talk to Jason and threw the idea that would the fellowship be willing to, if we went over and talked to the principal, if they needed some help with those kinds of things, would they be willing to partner with us? We would run the program, you know. Y'all don't need to enlist anybody. We'll be more than willing to run the program, and would fellowship be willing to help, you know, if we needed help with monetary things, maybe not a lot of money, but maybe a little bit of money here and there, to run some programs with Westside as needed.
Mm-hmm. Now, keep in mind, Jason had not been on staff but about 2 months.
Okay, right.
So you were really taking this idea that you had learned from the church in Sherwood, seeing that, and seeing that you could do that there in Cabot.
Well, we weren't quite at that point yet.
We were just wanting to do something small. We were thinking small.
We weren't thinking large by any stretch of the imagination.
And we didn't really want to, you know, with Jason just being new, we didn't want to just like slam dunk him into something overwhelming. So we thought, well, we'll just start small and see, and we'll just go over and talk to the principal and see what the situation would be and what help we could do at that point. So we scheduled a meeting with Miss Jennings, who's the principal there. Mm-hmm. And so we showed up on her doorstep one day, and I'll let you fill, Richard, fill in the rest.
We made an appointment and went into her office, and we said, hey, look, we're Rick and Deb Friday. We go to fellowship, and what can we do to help your school? I said, from our church, what can we do?
Oh, wow. That's a simple question.
It is a simple question, but the kicker to this, her eyes watered. And I thought, okay, you know, what are we going here? And she got some tears in her eyes, and she said, look, she said, it's just been 3 days I was praying to God. We need some help here, and we need to do we just need help. And, Lord, how can you help us do this, and how can you help us move? And it's nice walking into a school and confronting a Christian lady who's, you know, that she's praying and asking God for help. And she said, and then 3 days later, you people show up on my doorstep. Wow. And which is, when you find out that you're the answer to a prayer, you want to talk about an awesome and just almost overcoming experience. You know, like, I never look at myself as an answer to anybody's prayer, okay? But, you know, she prayed this, and God said, he goes, you know, you guys here, what are y'all doing? Let's go. Yeah. And, you know, it just, it was a neat thing. And so she had
a program that, and like I said, we were just thinking really small. But she said, we just asked her what we could do for them. And we didn't present them with anything. Well, we would like to do this or this or this.
Mm, that's good. You went in with open hands.
Yes. We just said, what do you need? And she said, well, we have a program that we've seen in the northern part of the state that we would really like to implement if your church would be interested in doing it. And I said, well, you tell us what it is. We'll take it back to the church and we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
And so we now have a program that is like we run a Walmart store inside the school. They have given us a room, and we stock. We have shelves and banners and all kinds of stuff there. And we stock through the donations from the church.
Yeah, this is and that's the big thing here. We don't. And we do have. We've had a couple of guys give us some money to say go buy some things, but by and large, everything that we put in here. New items are donated through the people in our church.
Oh,
and when awesome. It's constantly, our baskets are constantly overflowing with people are gracious for that. And we have all kinds of supplies, and we let the teachers give a list of things that we know that, the, like toothbrushes, toothpaste, soaps, and deodorants.
Yeah, so these are things not necessarily for the classroom, but for the kids that they would need.
We do have a school supply spot.
Mm-hmm.
But by and large, everything is set up. It's like clothes and coats, socks, shoes, bike helmets.
We had skateboards at one time.
Toiletries. This is the amazing part to me. We finally got the thing open. Oh, we're going to jump way ahead. We're going to
go for it. It's okay.
We're bouncing everywhere.
Yeah.
But
you guys should see this. Rick is getting so excited. His hands are flying. He's so excited about sharing this.
Because we had to get all the places, all the things like racks and stacks of things to display items on and to stack items on and to hang things on. And
you're going to see God's hand touching
everything
all through this. It's amazing.
We called around to places, and we called one place and they said, look, call this place and talk to this certain lady. So we did, and we called, and she said, I have used equipment, and I'd be willing to give it to you at little to no cost.
Used fixtures, the whole nine yards.
And so we came out with all this, and she just kept piling it on.
To create the store.
When you walk into Walmart and you see things hanging on racks, these were the things that she had. She had, you know, like
clothes
a
racks.
Triangle display.
Yeah,
all these things. So, you know, you walk into any sort of a department store, and these are the things that you see. And we went in, and she said, yeah, she said, we've got this, and this is the price, and this is the price, and this is the price. And so she's going through it, and she totals it up. She says, nah, that's too much money. And she just marked it off. She marked down, and she kept marking, and she said, nah, it's too much money.
And
she
marked some more off. How big of a store is this?
It's like two classroom size.
Wow.
They gave us two classrooms
to use.
That's
really big.
Yeah.
It is. And so.
But we got, we did all the fixtures in this thing for less than $400.
Mm.
She just marked it down. I mean, we were talking to Jason. He said, well, how much? He said, I'll give you $1,000 to spend on that. And I said, okay, great. Not a problem. We come back and I tell him, okay, I need a check for like, what was it, 412 or something like that, with tax and everything. He goes, really? I said, oh, and just wait till you see it.
And we were loaded up.
We filled up a pickup truck and two trailers
with
to bring it all in.
Wow.
So we got all the fixtures in, and then they gave us money to shop, and then with the donations. So we got it all fixed up, and fixed it up for kids and fixed up. They have a big bulletin board in there, so we kind of decorated. Ladies helped us decorate the bulletin board for kids. Mm-hmm. So right now we service on Thursdays. We do the after-school program kids. Mm-hmm. And so
And these are the most disadvantaged kids in the school.
Okay.
So how does this work? How do they shop the store?
Okay, what they devised is
you can tell Amy's got this question. She wants to know
how do we shop this?
How does this work?
What they do is the teachers devised a reward system where they give them money for their reward, for
reward bucks.
Different kinds of things that
it's Monopoly money.
Yeah.
And is it behavior or
all different kinds of things?
Or
behavior,
random acts of kindness.
Random acts of kindness was the what we were going by.
We call that copying good when I was in elementary school.
Yes, and so they have a list of all kinds of different things and how much money they can make for the different things that they do. Mm. And they get so much money at the end of by Thursdays. Mm. On Thursdays, they give them their money, whatever they've made.
They can earn up to $5 a day.
Okay.
Yes.
So that when they come to us, they could theoretically have $25 in their pocket from the first day.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Wow. And so they can come into the store. Well, it's set up just like a department store. We have a checkout area. We have a lady that puts it in a Walmart sack
for them. So
you're
teaching the kids how to shop at a normal store.
Right.
Well, this is one of the things that Miss Jennings talked about, the principal there. She said, you know, we want to give them some self-esteem. She said a lot of these kids don't even get the opportunity to go to Walmart. They don't get a chance to shop like that. They don't get a chance to go in and say, you know, I would like this, and go to the store and pay money out for it. And
so that they can go in and shop for whatever they need, and they come to and they have to count out their money to pay. And so they know, you know, we do a little bit of math there and all kinds of things like that. And then, you know, we put it in a sack for them so they feel like they've checked out of the check and all that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so it's so awe-inspiring. It's unusual. But we set the whole place up and had it shiny and all this. And the very first class that came in, the kids come in and they just stood there and looked at it. And they wouldn't even get out of line. They just kind of stood there and looked at it. And then they said, this is the coolest thing we've ever seen.
Tell what the first little girl said.
And they said, oh, I don't even remember.
She said, this is like a dream come true.
Yes. And, I mean, before the first class, all of us were in tears before the first class even went
the first
through.
Class. Mm-hmm. Every day, every Thursday that we're there, at some point in time, we get brought to tears.
Mm. And so the kids come through and they buy whatever it is they want to buy. And I mean, you just love the kids because they generally do not buy for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
They generally buy for the parents or a sibling or they even buy for each other.
Wow.
And they will go through, and if someone in their class wants to buy something and they don't have enough money, they'll all race and they'll pull all their leftover
money
together.
Together
so that whoever can buy whatever it is that they want. And
when we first started and looked at it, we got it all equipped and what's the word? We got it all.
Stocked.
We got everything in. We got it all stocked and ready to go. And we had this whole rack of toiletry items for both boys and girls. And I thought that the girls might get into that and buy some of that. But I told Deborah, I said, these boys will never buy these toiletry things like deodorant and toothbrushes and combs and toothpaste and, you know, just those kinds of things. They nearly bought us out the first day.
Wow.
I mean, I'm serious. Like, it was just, I looked at this and I thought, holy cow. But that's what they were buying. Had one little girl walked up and she had, what, four pairs of socks in her hands?
Mm-hmm.
And said her mother, I guess they had told the parents before we started this, and she said, my mama told me not to come home without socks.
Aww.
Wow.
And so she did that. And
we really thought we had a big rack of snacks, you know, upper end snacks that they don't normally get, like Oreo cookies and things like that. And they didn't buy snacks. We had to end up giving snacks away.
I think
like,
that's because my kids weren't there.
Take these snacks. But they didn't buy snacks. They bought everything else.
They bought everything else. But now, that's not to say that every now and then they wouldn't pick up snacks and stuff like that. But they bought for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And Deborah alluded to this just a little bit ago. Yeah. It got close to Christmas. The first year that we did this, it got close to Christmas, and the kids were buying, and we started finding out, okay, you know, I would say, you really like that, huh? Oh, no, that's not for me. This is for my little brother, or this is for my little sister, or, you know, they were buying perfume or nail things for their moms and stuff for their dads, and so we came to a realization that, okay, these kids are not just shopping here for themselves, that they're taking this stuff home, okay? Mm.
We had one little boy that had saved his money the whole semester. He didn't buy one thing the whole semester. He saved his money, and we had one particular item. It was a little book with cars.
Yeah, from the cars.
From the cars thing mm-hmm. that had a little map and thing with all the cars characters in it and everything. And he saved his money the whole semester and didn't buy anything.
It was $45.
It was, and we put it some things higher in so they would do this if they wanted it, save their money. And he saved his money. And right at the very end of the semester, the class before him, a little boy, bought this particular item. And he came in and ran to where it was at, and it was gone. And he cried. And he cried, we cried, everybody cried.
Oh, he broke into tears. He just had a meltdown.
I mean,
And I tried to comfort him and say, look, you know, it's okay, it's all right. And he said, no, this was my gift to my brother. This is what we had. Well, at that point in time, we're all going, okay.
So everybody's on their phone and Amazon.
Yeah, I got my phone open. I kick over to the Amazon app.
It'll be here in 12 hours.
And I found what I thought he wanted. Next week he won't have it.
He had already left and gone back to class. And so I went to their classroom and I said, hey, look. I said, what was his name?
I don't even remember his name now. But anyway.
You found it for him.
Yeah, we found it.
We did. I said, was this what you're looking for? And he said, yeah, that's it right there. And so I said, okay, it will be here next week. I promise you. I promise you it will be here next week. So I left from there. I walked outside the door, punched the app, brought the Amazon app, ordered it, had it delivered the next day. So I would know in my hands that next week I would walk in with
this thing. That's right. Yeah. And tell us a little bit. This was your vision or your project that you guys got started there at Westside by walking in and saying to the principal, what can we do? Right. How has the rest of Fellowship come beside you and help serve the school through this?
Well, they're constantly, like we said, they're constantly donating items that we need for the store. But we've also got a mentoring program going now that we have volunteers that come in and mentor with some special needs kids that we have.
You've expanded beyond the store, right?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Well,
yes,
yeah, the store.
Now you're mentoring.
One of those things, and we took that. Do you want to talk about how you got to this point?
Well, let's go into that. We mentor some special needs kids. We have 15 volunteers now that mentor with kids, and they go in and have lunch or in recess, and in any time they need us. We have the ladies at the administration. Miss Jennings or the vice principal, a lot of times they'll call us up if the child wants to talk to us. They'll call us up and let us talk to them, and so we just mentor with the kids, and the kids see us walking down the hall, and we have it. They'll come running out and give us a hug, or they'll talk to us, and they know we don't advertise that we're from Fellowship Baptist
Bible.
Fellowship Bible Church. We don't. I mean, we will wear our shirts sometimes, but they know where we're from, and they'll come out and the kids just flock around us and hug us and things like that. And we have expanded to where the teachers come up now and ask that. I know that you're just here for the kids, but can we do a prayer request with you guys too? Would it be okay if we ask for you to pray for our family too? And of course. You know. But one thing that we, you know, I was telling you at the first that we were thinking very small, and this has grown into something very big, and our fellowship congregation comes up with us, and whenever we need something, they're right there with us, and I know that they pray for us.
Yeah.
But we were doing a Bible study called "And Praying Crazy Prayers."
Okay.
And it's a Bible study that my husband Richard helped. He contributed with another lady in this, but one of the things that struck me was, what if we not only acknowledged with our lips that that God controls all resources, loves unconditionally, wants the best for his people, and is very much alive and interested in this world. What if we didn't only give lip service to believing those things, but we also lived our lives with faith that testified to those beliefs? What if we prayed crazy prayers for impossible things to happen through us, completely believing that God would answer. Mm. What if instead of our trying to present him as relevant, we allow God to use us to show people he is relevant and he cares about people?
Mm. Mm. Yeah, I was going to ask you guys, and I think this may be a question that you guys may go on for a little while, so I'm just gonna limit you,
yes.
Give you 30 seconds to answer this. Summarize for me why you do this. What keeps you serving in this way at Westside Elementary?
Well, for me, I think this is what God has called me to do, to serve the children, to serve the children. And this is my calling. This is my heart, is to be with these little kids and to serve the children. And I think by serving the children, we are also serving the community. We're presenting him as true love to these kids.
Yeah.
Mine goes back to the commandments. You know, when they asked Jesus what the greatest commandment was, you know, it's love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul. And the second of these is to love your neighbor as yourself. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he doesn't tell us to love our neighbors because they look like us or because they act like us or they believe like us or anything along those lines. He tells us to love our neighbors, period.
Yeah.
And that's what we're doing. We're just loving our neighbors. And these people are literally our neighbors. Mm-hmm. And it's just, yeah, that's why we do this.
For some of these kids, this is the only unconditional love that they get, that they don't – are not expected, something is not expected
there's
of
no
them.
For this.
There's nothing required for them to do. This, they get love unconditionally, and this is the only time that they get it.
So there's a verse or a passage that comes to mind for me as you guys are sharing this, and it comes out of 1 Samuel. Samuel's actually giving his final encouragement to the people of Israel. And one thing that he says specifically, he says, "Above all, fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all of your heart. Consider the great things that he has done for you." And it's interesting there because that word serve him faithfully, is that serve word is interchangeable with worship. Mm-hmm. This is your guys's, your worship to the Lord, your service before him. It's been so encouraging to hear just a small piece of what you guys are doing at Westside Elementary. And Amy, I really wish that we had Facebook Live going on here or something like that. There's some kind of video recording so that the rest of our church could see how excited they are. Because I know it's coming through in their voices, but you should see their faces and the joy that's on their faces, too.
I want to get out there and see the store. It sounds
awesome. Oh, you'll have to come. When school opens, you're more than welcome. You'll have to be there when the kids show up.
You call us one day, and we'll set you up. We'll let you come work with us.
That would be awesome. I would love that.
Yes. Fellowship, we invite you to reach out to Rick and Deb if you have donations or if you want to figure out how you can donate to them. No matter what campus you're on, if you want to donate to their storehouse there at Westside Elementary, we'd love to invite you to do that. Feel free to reach out to Rick and Deb and ask them how or what they can do. And I know that you guys could keep on going with sharing.
We probably could hold in about two or three more hours if you want to go.
Thank you very much for being here with us today
and
sharing
what
God is doing through you and through your story there at Westside Elementary. Amy, one of the things that strikes me about their story and what they shared is that they just went in with a simple question. What can we do?
Yeah, I really love that.
They held their hands open. And we've talked about that in a number of our podcasts, just being willing to let God use us, however.
Mm-hmm. It makes me think about just even that, going into that posture with local and global missions of approaching our partners with how can we help you? What needs can we help meet as the church?
And that's right. Yeah, exactly. And Rick said it really well. Love our neighbors as ourselves. Love the Lord your God. And this is why we want to do it. We want to serve our communities. We want people to see the love of God. Mm-hmm. Well, Fellowship, we hope you enjoyed this episode. If you have questions or comments for us, you can reach out to us at fellowshiptalks@fellowshiponline.com. We'd love to hear your stories, hear your questions. And if you have thoughts or ideas about podcasts or stories that we can share in the future, we'd love to hear from you. Until next time, I'm Dan.
And I'm Amy.
For As You Go, this is Fellowship Talks.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Fellowship Talks. We hope this podcast will help you be a more effective disciple of Jesus Christ as you love God and you love others in your daily context. Fellowship Bible Church exists to make disciples who live by God's grace and for His glory at home and across the world.